I'd love to know more about working with Baryshnikov, talking about a genius and someone who's well known in a particular world. It's unbelievable, right? It's like Michael Jordan, a dance.
I know. Well, I mean, I'm so inspired continually. I mean, I first, when I was a young girl, is you know, I just found his work in ballet and as the star, the prominent star of our time, of my time. So, but now, I mean, seeing that he's continued to expand and explore. I just saw Brodsky Baryshnikov. I don't know if you were able to read about or see that piece. I just saw that a couple weeks ago. Mind-blowing, you know, very, very different, and, you know, but so intense and passionate. It's like, I feel like the man has that gold touch. Like, whatever he dives into is like, turns gold. I mean, you know, just he really, but it's because of his nature is, I mean, he's just incredibly gifted and talented, but he's driven and he's real, and he cares so much about the arts and supports artists. You know, his center, BAC, which, you know, has been such a gift to performers and artists, but working with him as a guest artist with the White Oak Dance Project was such a great experience. I mean, I was the choreographer was Richard Moog. It was a piece called Achilles, the show. The show Achilles Heals, and I played Helen of Troy, and Misha was Achilles, and you know, just to. I mean, I've watched him. I know him as he's a friend, and the first time I met him was as a dancer with Grand Company. I was even just a student there, and he was doing a benefit that our company was having for the Grand School and the Grand Company and for ABT and their school, SAB. It was a joint benefit that we were performing at the Met. So he was doing Oedipus. And so it was just like, it was amazing to meet him and to know him. And just, I feel like, you know, watching a great artist, it's so, I mean, inspiring. I mean, I'm trying to find words. It's just about you learn so much, and I feel like I'm just absolutely inspired by everything that he's continued to do and explore. Of course, as well as watching his magical majesty of the stage, presence, timing, everything. But it's just wonderful to know that a person can continue as a dancer and performer throughout their life and not, you know, which I think the film is really kind of addressing. You know, we have this idea of dance as being something that you can't do past a certain age, especially women, actually. Because it's youth-centric. And absolutely, I have to say, like, when you're young, what your body wants to do and can do, you can throw it in ways that, you know, that you can then walk after. You know, you can do the things that, you know, that later you're like, ooh, well, I don't know if I would do that now, you know? Your body is younger, and that's biology. But as an artist, you continue to grow, and you continue to evolve through life experiences, and ultimately, I mean, what drew me to Martha's work in particular was that Martha Graham herself was not an example of the youth-centric culture. She danced until she was in her 60s. She created some of her most iconic and most powerful pieces in her 40s and 50s, you know, and pieces that, you know, that you know, you can't really perform as a 20-year-old. You can't do Herodiad. Herodiad is, you know, this incredible piece. It's in a sense, it's about, Martha talked about, there's this abstract Noguchi set, which she calls the mirror, and then there's these abstract pieces hanging within this mirror. One we call the bird. It kind of looks like this bird, and that's, to me, something of the heart. To me, I don't know what it was Noguchi saw, but that there's this whole scene where Herodiad is looking in the mirror and seeing the bones of her face and seeing her mortality. And when you're 20, you can't get there. You could maybe pretend act it. That's the benefit of time and life and wisdom, is that you can, then it goes back to the story of The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, that life has to be lived forward, but can only be understood looking back. You know, it's like, oh, we always feel like, oh, if we only had the knowledge we have now when we were 20, but you can't, because you have to have lived. So it's funny, but that was that story, but I feel like that's so true, but that in particular is why I think it's so so moving and so important and interesting and powerful to see performers who've been doing it for a while, who have that mastery over their craft, and they've gone through things and they have found their liberation and they've found and pushed their limits and they're continuing to push their limits, and limits being that perhaps how time is pushing on the body and limiting what you can do, and Martha in her own choreography used, even as a younger woman, used limitation to create without limitation. I mean, the thing is that as limits come upon you, it doesn't mean that there's less that you can do. In fact, within those boundaries, more is created. And when Martha did her iconic solo lamentation, she encased her body into a tube of fabric which she could barely move it. And the piece was called Lamentation, was a lament. And the idea was that this constricting fabric was the feeling that you have when you are in a place of lament. You don't feel like you can bounce around and float, you know. There's this feeling of pushing against, as if this fabric were your own skin, as if this fabric were pulling you in and you were trying to push against it. So what came out of that her imposing this restriction on her own self as a choreographic tool was this iconic solo, 1930 Lamentation, that today is still more revolutionary than so many pieces we've seen since. In many dance, in the dance world in general, I mean, that it's still like, whoa, where is that? That's just the jewel that changed the course of dance. It really was a point in history that changed the way we see dance.